I'm trying to tell him he did a good job, but he's not going to pay any attention to me. Not like being called out in church, huh? Good job, John. Thank you. Darren and I are doing this series on some of the questions that are posed. And this question today is one that I've heard in a number of different forms over the course of the years. The question of, is the Bible true? The question of, is the Bible reliable? Can you count on the Bible? Is the Bible any different than any other book? And so on. The question has been posed to me in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways over the course of my 30-some-odd years of ministry. And so it's not a question that's easily answered, but it's a question that needs to be answered. It's a question that deserves an answer. So I'd like us to look to that place that we find as our source for answers. And in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul is kind of giving some instructions, some guidance, and some direction to his young charge, the young man that he's kind of grooming for doing more ministry. And in the third chapter, we'll begin with the 14th verse there. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. The temptation when you try to answer a question like this is to simply go back to the source and say, well, right there it says all Scripture is good. All the Scripture is reliable. It's something you ought to use. And to go back to the Scripture and say, okay, the Scripture says it's reliable, so therefore the Scripture is reliable. Well, the problem with that kind of argument is it's what they call circular reasoning. It's a beautiful day outside. Why is it a beautiful day outside? Because I said it's a beautiful day outside. That's circular reasoning. It is trying to prove something by making a statement of truth and then reiterating that same statement of truth. And so we have that tendency to do that, to, you know, when somebody says to us, well, your Bible's nothing but a bunch of words that some people put down years and years ago, and it really doesn't mean that much. It's just their words. And so we go to the pages of 2 Timothy 3:14 there, and we go, well, wait, this is what it says. And then when we deal with people like that, then they go, they got nothing to say. They feel as if we're trying to avoid their questions. So then we take different tacks. We try and look at it from different angles. And one of the ways that we do it is sometimes we go to the intellectual side, which is a place where many of us are very comfortable. And you can look at the question of the reliability of the documents, because even if the Bible is telling us that the Scriptures, well, the only Scriptures they had when Paul was writing to Timothy was the Old Testament. And so if we want to know, then, are the Scriptures of the New Testament reliable, then we have this tendency to look at them and say, well, okay, what kind of proof do we have for their reliability? And we try and look at, okay, well, how old are they? When were they written? How are they put together? And so on. And we begin to take that intellectual tact towards it. And there's good, you can do some good work there, because the Scriptures are very reliable in their sourcing. You know, one of the things that amazes me, this is one of the things that amazes me about the texts that we have for the New Testament, is the fact that when the New Testament was being written, when it was being kind of pulled together from all the different sources that they had, when it was being pulled together from the letters that Paul had written and the other letters that were written and the Gospels that were written, and they were trying to pull it all together, they pulled them from all sorts of different places. They pulled them from all sorts of areas throughout that Mediterranean basin there and throughout the Middle East. And this was not done in a time when you had computers and autocorrect and you could send things through email and documents attached and so on. These were all like handwritten documents. You know, somebody took the time to sit there and transcribe word for word, letter for letter, these portions of the New Testament and then sent them off to different places for their edification and for their use and so on. And the amazing thing is, to me, this is the amazing thing about it, is the fact that there are so few errors. You know, because we tend to look at it, you know, from our modern perspective, go, well, you know, there's variant readings here and there's variants on this and this has this word and this has that word. And you look at it and go, well, it can't be reliable because there's so many little errors in it. But the fact is, if you look at it in the whole total, there's so few mistakes. There are so few little variants on the reading. And so it tells you how seriously the first century or the first generations of Christians took these writings. They took them very, very seriously. They didn't make a lot of changes to them. They didn't try and amend them or any of that sort of stuff. And they took very seriously the work of taking this document, reproducing it for somebody else and reproducing it for somebody else and making sure that it got there in a reasonable and reliable manner. Because we have documents that are found in one region in the Middle East that match almost absolutely with documents found in whole other regions. And it's just amazing to me. So we can take that intellectual bent to it and try and prove its reliability and its authority. It's truth based upon that kind of seriousness with which people took the early text of the New Testament. But that's all well and good, but that doesn't answer the question either. Now, does it? And so we're faced with these two options of allowing the text to prove itself or trying to look at the text outside of itself and allowing that to prove its worth and its value. But I think that Paul actually gave us the key, and maybe we missed it in here. See, we get stuck on 3:16 there where it says, all scripture is God-breathed. And we get like, okay, that's enough for me. If the Bible says it's God-breathed, if the Bible says that it's inspired by God, then that's good enough for me. And we kind of stop there. But here's where we need to go on. Because Paul wanted Timothy to let the scriptures prove themselves to him. And for all of us to allow the scriptures to prove themselves for us. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that those of us who are of God may be equipped for doing good work. What Paul was trying to get us to see is that if you want to know whether the Bible is true, if you want to know whether the Bible is reliable, if you want to know whether the Bible is of any value to us whatsoever, try it on. Test it. Does reading the Bible, does studying the scriptures make you a better person? When you spend time in the scriptures, when you spend time reading through the Bible, does it elevate you at all? Does it help you to become more like the person that you think God is calling you to be? Does it help you to see how it is that you ought to live your lives from day in and day out? That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's not saying to Timothy, take my word for it. These scriptures are God-breathed. These scriptures are reliable. These scriptures are a gift from God. He's not saying, take my word for it. He's saying, try them out. Give them the test. read them, study them, learn them, and see whether or not it makes you into a better person. One of the things that we're doing, and one of the announcements that Darren forgot to make, not that I would publicly embarrass Darren by any means, is we're doing a 3-week J-term. And in this J-term, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at some of the great people of faith. And there's going to be some names that are familiar and some names that may be not so familiar. But there's a common element, I will guarantee you, there's a common element among all of the people that we're going to introduce you to in the next 3 Sundays of Sunday school class. And that common element is that these are all people who took the Bible seriously. These are all people who found the Bible to be that source of goodness and truth and guidance for the living of their lives. Cashback guarantee on that one. Because that's what the Bible is. It's something to be used. It's something to be studied, but not just studied here, but studied here, so that it changes our hearts and our lives. If you want to know whether or not the Bible is true, study it. Learn from it. Allow it to speak to you as you live your life. And my hunch is that you will find yourself changed for spending more time in the Scriptures. And you'll find yourselves changed for the better, growing in likeness to being the person that God has called you to be. Is the Bible true? I can't convince you of that. I can't give you 1,000 logical reasons why that would be true. Only you can convince yourself through spending time with the Scriptures, learning from the Scriptures, and allowing the Scriptures to change who you are. Would you pray with me? Well, loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you've given us a book that we refer to as your word to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to spend some quality time with that book, to learn, to hear its word to us, to accept its guidance, and allow its words to help us to focus our lives a little bit more on you and a little bit less on ourselves. We pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.